We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the Tar Heel Sports Network from Learfield, this is Holding Court with Courtney Banghart. Presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. Here's your host, Matt Krause.
And we say hello on this Monday, February the 6th edition of Holding Courts with Courtney Banghart, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. My name is Matt Krause, radio play-by-play voice of Carolina women's basketball. We are on location here at the Sheraton Chapel Hill with the head coach herself, recapping a week for the Tar Heels that saw Carolina earn a home win against Virginia, 73-62. To prolong the best run at home at Carmichael Arena since the late 2000s. It's now 26 wins in the last 28 home games in front of the home crowd, and then a 62-55 setback on the road against Louisville that we will graze over a little bit. All good things must come to an end. The eight-game win streak finished for the Tar Heels. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So thoughts on the week that was for the Tar Heels, 1-1 with the win over Virginia and the setback to Louisville.
Well, that's a very broad question. I don't know where to go with all that. You know, 1-1 is better than 0-2, and not as good as 2-0. How's that for about as good as I can give you?
Math. That's great. Going back to the...
You'll have to give me more specific questions. I'm not smart enough to make up a monologue.
Okay, we'll get there. The win over Virginia at
good
home.
Good place to start, yeah.
Yep, in front of the Carmichael crowd. Really important, especially in this stretch of 4 games of 5 on the road, faraway destinations, to take care of business in the one at home in front of the home fans, right?
Yeah, I mean, Carmichael's just become such a fun place to play. And, you know, I recognize so many of you guys here that I see in the stands. And it's just like a great feeling when you walk on the court. And obviously our players really feel safe and supported and connected there. So, yeah, Carmichael, any game in Carmichael's a game I'm a fan of.
53% from the floor. You're a fan of that, too, in that win over Virginia. If you take out the first 5 shots of the game that the Tar Heels missed, it goes up to 59%. It's the best field goal percentage in an ACC game in your tenure at Carolina, best for the Tar Heels since February of 2019 against Boston College. So what do you like about the shots that you were getting against Virginia to shoot at such a high percentage?
Well, first, it's one of the really neat traditions you guys have all started where you stand until we score. And so we just wanted you guys to stand a little bit longer to get your legs stretched out for that first few possessions, and then we let you settle in. Defense to offense, and just, you know, you're a better, as I've always said, you're a better offensive coach when the ball goes in. But I liked our shots, and I liked that we found a way to put them into the basket.
Well, Syracuse, where the Tar Heels go on Thursday, they don't just stand, but they rhythmically applaud until the home team scores. So if you haven't experienced that before, that's a new unique little twist that we'll see on Thursday. Maybe we can incorporate that for the home fans at Carmichael as well. Five players in double figures in scoring in the win over the Cavaliers. First time in ACC play this season. First time in an ACC game since last year's ACC home opener against Syracuse. When you see five with 10 or more points, what does that tell you about the way the ball moved?
Yeah, I think defensively, they, you know, every team is so different in our league. And defensively, they preferred to protect. And so we had a chance to move the ball side to side with general ease, which got really good players, you know, good shots. And then conversely, when teams really got up and pressured us, we didn't handle that as well this weekend. But, you know, we've got a lot of guys that can score, and our job is to continually work hard to find a great shot each possession.
Caleb McPherson led the team in scoring Thursday with 14 points. She becomes the seventh different Tar Heel to lead the team in scoring this year. That's the most individual leading scorers in a season since 2014-2015. Anya Poole in double figures in back-to-back games, and she's shown the ability to both score under the bucket on layups, but also to take the mid-range jumper when it's available to her. How does her ability now to command some more defensive attention open up lanes for others?
In a lot of ways. You know, she's got to find herself in our offense. And over the last two, three weeks, she's done a really good job of that, you know, both in the interior, as you said, and as a face-up player to pull the defense away from the basket. But I also, you know, would be remiss not to mention how it's great to have Kayla back. I know I've been telling you guys how good she is, and I know you're starting to see that, which is really fun for us. But, yeah, Anya's played. You know, she played again on Sunday. She played well as well. So she's had another good week, and we'll need that moving forward.
Unfortunately, the loss against Louisville, no Alyssa Usby available for the Tar Heels in that contest. And we know about her presence on the glass, but how was she missed on the offensive end?
Oh, gosh. I mean, a game without Alyssa Usby is a little painful. She does so much for us. You know, she scores 13 points a game. She's our best rebounder at 9 a game. She's incredibly active. She's your 94-foot threat. You know, she gets her hands on things. I mean, she's just really a pleasure to have, and makes up for a lot of things, which we saw against, who did we play? Louisville. Missing Alyssa is a tough ask, especially in front of 10,000 fans when you're asking both Destiny and Tiani to cover that spot, someone who does it so well. So a really good learning experience for our young guys. We just wish we could have Alyssa along with it.
We've seen your team be successful against pressure several times this season. Yeah. You think about the Duke game, you think about the Clemson game, a couple of wins in recent weeks. What was different in the Louisville game other than the absence of Alyssa and Eva that took the Tar Heels out of rhythm offensively?
Well, that's a big other than, right? I mean, it's a giant other than. So you go in front of 10,000 fans against a pressure, a team that's starving, and you have two of your most experienced players and two starters out. That's a lot, right? And so we just didn't play well enough. The pressure bothered us. Ball didn't move as well because it wasn't as easy to move. You know, I think the crowd at times made our guys feel a little bit smaller. So I think really the young guys are going to be fine, and they're going to continue to grow. But the story on that game is it's a tough game to have those two out given the environment.
Well, we'll close the book and end the story on that game. How about that? The presenting season sponsor of Holding Court and Women's Basketball is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics, believes an inclusive community is a healthy community. We resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to help empower our future leaders. We'll take a time out, come on back, and get to some listener questions here on this February 6th edition of Holding Court from Learfield. Back live on location at the Sheraton Chapel Hill for this edition of Holding Court with Courtney Banghart, talking all things Carolina women's basketball. Up next for the Tar Heels, a couple of opponents this week from the northern regions of the ACC. One trip north to see Syracuse Thursday at 7. We're on the air at 6:30 with the Reed Jewelers pregame show. And then Sunday, Boston College comes to town. That'll be a noon tip and an 11:30 broadcast time on the Tar Heel Sports Network. Coach, we got some listener questions, as we always do, and we'll start with Barbara Fetters, who has two good ones for you. Her first question is in relation to your three-guard lineup, as it seems like Kayla McPherson, Paulina Paris, Deja Kelly, when they're in there at the same time, they're all really good ball handlers. How do you decide who's playing the point, bringing the ball up the floor, when they're all in at the same time?
Well, you know, they're all capable, like you said. And without Alyssa, we really missed that rim run. So we didn't have we want to be able to outlet the ball either side and play fast. And so when you play a little bit slower, then you have to sort of help define who the lead guard is. At our best, we don't have to define that, but we had to this weekend. And who's the lead guard is the guy who makes our offense the best. It's that simple, right? Who's able to get each other, everybody else shots, who's able to ensure that our offense moves. And so they all can do it at various spots when you want certain guys on or off ball. And so it's kind of a fluid thing as we figure out what pace we're going to play at until we can get Alyssa back soon.
Just a definition for folks that may not know, rim run, what does that mean?
There's a rim, and you got to run to it as fast as you can. Yep, that's what has to happen. And Alyssa is tremendous at it. And so what happens is typically the first guy back is a guard. Alyssa runs so fast and so hard that typically the guard has to guard her. So the team is in a scramble while they're figuring out their matchups. And we really want that. We take advantage of that kind of 6 seconds of scramble. And when that doesn't happen, the team gets to flow into their defense and kind of settle in and build their wall, which we'd prefer not to happen. And it happened on Sunday, and we had a really tough time working around that.
Barbara's next question, after a loss, how do you strike a balance between holding players accountable, but also making sure they don't get too down on themselves, especially some of your young players?
I think you do A, you hold them accountable. You know, these are, kids want to be told the truth and they want clarity and all those things. And so the film is incredibly clear and it's really truthful. So we go through and we'll show individual film to our young guys, good, bad, and indifferent. Just this is kind of the flow of what happened. And then for the team, the same deal. We will show our offensive possessions in succession, and they can see sort of how we stack together, both whether it was careless turnovers or poor shots consecutively, and what that does to a 40-minute game. But you know, you don't want to protect them from reality. That's not really, I'm not sure that that's helpful to them. You know, we will certainly remind them that we believe in them, and they've played important minutes all year. I told Des before the game that we wouldn't have beaten NC State without her, and I told Paulina we probably wouldn't have beaten Notre Dame without her. So these are kids that have had valuable experience, but they care about one thing, and that's winning. So when they don't, they're going to be a little in their feelings, and that's okay. It kind of comes with the territory.
Dennis Goss is next. He submits great questions every week, and he says, being in this stretch of 4 or 5 games on the road, how do you and the team make best use of your time away from Chapel Hill on a typical road trip, and how do you balance team time versus personal time and downtime? Any fun things about a road trip?
Well, the first thing you do to balance your time is you take that bag that you travel in and you don't put it away. It's right there. So that on Sunday when you get home, you do your laundry and put all the clothes back in for when you leave again Wednesday. So that saves some time. But there's not really a lot of time for fun. I hate to say that because the kids will go to class and then we'll get a practice in because our guys are here and we can't bring our guys with us. And then by the time we get to the airport and go through the whole process of getting to Syracuse, it'll be 7 o'clock at night. So they'll eat. And they'll go back and settle in a little bit, and then they'll have some body mobility in the evening, or they'll get into the pool for some mobility, and then they'll have a late night snack and go to bed. Like, there's not a whole lot of time for much else than that. And then the next day, it's shoot around, if there is a shoot around, which there wasn't on Sunday because of a noon tip, but shoot around and a lot of eating. But yeah, there's not a lot of playing chutes and ladders and things like that on road trips.
Is that your favorite board game?
No, we're into Sorry at my house right now.
Okay.
I'm on a 3-game win streak. Not bragging, but it's facts.
Facts are facts. How about that?
Yep, facts.
Dennis again. All right, here we go. Is it correct that your second half technical against Louisville was only the third or fourth one in 15 or so years of head coaching? He recalls a fun story you told about the first two times when you claimed it wasn't even your fault.
I've only gotten one other one, and that was actually, wasn't my fault at all, and my bench got it. And it was hilarious because y'all remember Carrie Moore. She was amazing. And it was at NC State. And I come back at the end of the game and we go into our locker room after we talk with the team. And I pull out my phone and her mom had sent me this like page long text about like, my daughter's a wonderful person. I hope you don't get her in trouble. She is, you know, she should never be getting a technical foul. And I was like, your daughter's awesome. We move on. So that one was on the bench, which I guess goes to me, even though I wasn't even involved. And then I didn't even realize I got one until I saw that they were shooting 2 free throws. I was like, what just happened? So it's kind of a bummer that when you're going to get a technical foul, you kind of want to be like, I don't know, I kind of want a good story behind it. There's no good story behind that one. Besides, I just asked, if they have a block charge call, you can ask them to review it. And if you're wrong, you lose a timeout. And if you're right, you get the play reversed. And so I wanted them to review it. And it was wicked loud in there, so I couldn't hear. And so I was like, yo, we need you to review it before, because once you put the ball in, you can't change the play. So I said, I need you to renew it. And he looked at me and he says, you're out of your coaching box. And I was, so I said, so he said, you get a technical. And I was like, wow. Meanwhile, Jeff, just literally the things that he was saying, I was just like, what? You guys are allowing that? And so it was a little shocking. But yeah, I don't even think my mom tracked on it. She hasn't mentioned it yet.
Fingers crossed it doesn't get mentioned. Leads us to another question from Son of Odell on Twitter. Do you have Kennedy Todd Williams pre-designated as your technical free throw shooter? It was interesting that she came over to shoot those two free throws right after Deja just made three for her foul in that sequence when Jeff got his technical.
You have to announce your shooter before you start any free throws, right? So statistically, Toddy is having a better game at the free throw line. So we play the math on that. She's traditionally a very good free throw shooter. And then once you name the shooter, then you start shooting for the free throws. So it would have looked like a really right decision if Deja had only made 2 for 3. But once she makes 3 for 3 and Toddy goes 1 for 2, the question is verified.
It's math right there. When we continue here on Holding Courts, we will have a special treat for you. An interview that we did with Paulina Paris, Carolina's one true freshman. Paulina stops by the program when we continue after this from Learfield. We're back on Holding Court, and the presenting season sponsor of this program is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics, believes an inclusive community is a healthy community. We resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to help empower our future leaders. Time now to join one of Carolina's real breakout stars of this season, Paulina Paris, the one true freshman on the team. And, Coach, before we get into the conversation that I had with Paulina, this was recorded on the road trip against Clemson. Just your overall thoughts on her growth and how she's been able to impact your team from day one. I know you said that she is really good at stacking those days in practice.
Yeah, so you did this before the Clemson game.
Correct.
So then you should have done it again before the Louisville game.
And then she'd score 22 again.
Would be helpful. Yeah, it would have been great. She's been great. She's one of the more consistent people I've ever been around in terms of, you know, she doesn't let one bad possession turn into two or one bad day turn into two. Doesn't let her doubt herself. She's incredibly communicative. She loves film. She so wants to be whatever this team needs her to be. And it's really hard to come in on a really good team. I remember she was committed to Penn State before the pandemic. And it opened up her recruiting once she realized she could start taking visits. And people that were recruiting against us, she was like us, Indiana, a couple others, they were saying, you know, Carolina's got so many good players, so I don't know why you'd want to go there. And to which she said, that's actually why I want to go there, right? I want to go be with good players. And, you know, that's how kind of iron sharpens iron. And I'm going to trust that coach wants me because she thinks I can help. And that's exactly what she's done. She's been a huge help and looking forward to all that's ahead for her.
So let's take a listen to my chat with Paulina Paris. Being the only true freshman on the team, I think that's where we have to start. You know, a roster of 12, and you are the only rookie. It seems, though, that you've assimilated into this group really, really easily. How has that been such a successful transition for you?
I'd have to give it to my team. I mean, since the day that I've walked in here, they've accepted me, and they've just brought me in as if I've been here for the amount of time they have. So I give a lot of credit to them and my buddy, Eva. She's really helped me, and I feel like I owe her so much for what she's done for me since I've been here.
What have you learned about college basketball and just being a college student playing a Division I sport from Eva?
That it's not easy. I mean, I used to think in high school that it would be like the easiest thing to do, living on my own. And then I've realized that it takes a lot of energy and just a lot of like growing up. And I think that I've been doing very well, and Eva has guided me a lot along the way.
What has surprised you about something perhaps that's been more difficult than you thought once you got here to Chapel Hill?
Honestly, I would say like the food aspect. I was really used to at home being fed 3 meals a day by my parents, and now it's come to me to like feed myself and have like a good nutrition on a daily basis that feeds like my energy on and off the court. So that's definitely been the hardest thing that I've had to deal with.
Coming from New York, what drew you south to Chapel Hill and what made you want to be a Tar Heel?
Again, on my visit, just being with these girls and seeing what it was like, and obviously being a Tar Heel, it's like, it's amazing. So I would say just that, and just being able to say that I'm playing basketball at the University of North Carolina is a blessing.
High school class of 2022, so the onset of the pandemic was right in the middle of your high school career. How did that affect both your high school career and your recruitment process?
Well, obviously, it's done my junior year. I only got to play about 10 games, so it was hard. I mean, coming back from COVID without any games, barely able to work out in gyms because they were all closed, so that was definitely hard. And then recruiting was hard, too, because I hadn't gone on an official visit. So when COVID reopened, I was able to take my four officials, and I was able to find this place, which was amazing, and I'm glad I was able to do that after COVID.
Coming from New York, there's a stereotype in a good way that players, especially guards, are New York tough.
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
I mean, I'm from New York, so like, we're supposed to be tough. I mean, I grew up playing outside. I grew up playing against the guys. I grew up playing against girls on the hardwood, having to take charges on the hardwood. So I think that there's just this mentality that comes with, like, if you're from New York, you have to be tough. And I think that I've fulfilled that role very well.
How has that made you better once you've gotten here to college?
I think it's made me a lot better, especially growing up playing against, like, different guys. Like, I would go to the gym, and my dad would just bring me to play against these older guys that were already in college. And I think that playing against them prepared me for, like, going to the basket in college and just being able to get to the line and stuff like that. So definitely a lot.
Who do you model your game after?
My dad.
And he played some ball too, right?
He did. He played in Puerto Rico.
Take us back to the Virginia Tech game. Mm-hmm. Close game, fourth quarter. Neither team had held a lead greater than six. You take that game over. 9 points, all in that fourth quarter, to finish the game with 15 in total. In a game like that one, where it is your first ACC road game as a true freshman, what's the mindset when the game's on the line and you're being entrusted to make key plays?
Well, that's the thing. Banghart has definitely trusted me since I've been here, and I think that in that game, I just wanted to come in and be able to impact the game as well as I could and just do whatever I needed to do to help the team win. So being a part of that game, it was truly my first game where I was able to see that I could impact the game on this team, and it was nice. I mean, it was like a game that I was able to break out in, and again, it just goes back to trust. She was able to trust me that game.
What about that matchup enabled your success?
Well, I love getting to my left hand, and I was able to get to my left hand very easily that game, and I think that I just took advantage of it and did it as many times as I could and got what I needed out of it.
Did you feel at all, especially after that game and then the Notre Dame game the week after where you helped the Tar Heels earn the home win, at all like you had arrived as a player?
Definitely. My first few games were a little tough because I wasn't shooting well, and I was still adjusting to the atmosphere here. So I think that those two games really helped me like open my eyes to see, like, yes, I do belong here, and yes, I'm going to make an impact on this team.
What do you like to do outside of basketball?
I love to go get ice cream at Ben & Jerry's with, like, Eva, Liz, my teammates, so that's fun. Netflix, and just be able to hang out outside my dorm as much as I can.
What ice cream flavor are we having? Is it the same every time? Does it switch up?
It's milk and cookies, and the people on Franklin Street know my order, so when I walk in, they have it ready when I'm ready to go.
See, we need to get you an NIL deal.
I would love one from them. That would be great.
All right. See, we'll get to that. Netflix-wise, what are we watching these days?
I've watched Grey's Anatomy a lot of times. I think I'm on round 3, so I'm on season 4 right now, which is really good. Stranger Things I've watched 9 times, actually.
Wow.
I love Stranger Things.
Did you see the Stranger Things themed hotel room at our hotel in Indiana when we were there?
I did. Destiny actually brought me to it, so it was pretty cool to see. And I think that was one of my fun facts when I first got here. I just love Stranger Things. It was a great series.
Well, Paulina, thanks so much for joining us here on this episode of Holding Court. Thanks for taking the time, and we are so glad to have you in Chapel Hill. So excited to watch your continued growth through this season and beyond.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Our thanks again to Paulina Paris for joining us. Next week on Holding Court, hear 2 interviews. I chatted with Carolina sophomore Destiny Adams and also the program's director of operations, Jessica Carrington. Those interviews will air on the show next week on Holding Court. One more segment to wrap up this week's show. It's after this from Learfield. One last segment here on Holding Court to take you home on this February the 6th edition. Carolina getting ready for the Syracuse Orange and the Boston College Eagles this week. Syracuse on the road Thursday at 7 o'clock. BC at home Sunday at noon. Coach, you know what I realized? I've been telling people, come on out to Carmichael on Sunday. Carolina's playing the Boston College Eagles. You can tell your friends you're going to the Eagles game this Sunday. Mm. You don't have to specify which Eagles game.
I like it.
And you can sound cool.
I like it. And it's early enough tip. If you had a plane, you could do both.
Exactly. You could. And plenty of time to get on your couch for the big game coming up Sunday night. All right, so Syracuse on Thursday on the road at 7 early in the week. But what's important to pay attention to as you prepare for the Orange?
Well, they've got one of the most dynamic scorers in the league, averaging 20 points a game, a fifth-year senior who's just an itty-bitty thing at 5'5", and can score in just a variety of ways, puts a lot of pressure on defenses. So that's going to be a critical matchup. They play the kind of signature 2-3 zone that you're familiar with the men. And so you're going to have a zone look for most of the game. And it's the Carrier Dome, which, as you guys know, is a football stadium. And then there's like a little portion of it that has a basketball court, which is a little bit different, you know, than a basketball arena. So there's kind of three things. And we will be without, not for much longer, thank God, but Eva and Alyssa. So it's a big week. We got to get through this week as best we can. And so we're going to need to continue to get better and fight.
The Louisville game yesterday, the Syracuse game Thursday, and then the Sunday home game against Boston College, all are play for K games. I've got on the pink t-shirt right now. How important is it for you, and how meaningful is it to be a part of the cause of breast cancer awareness?
Yeah, I mean, that everyone in this room and everyone listening has been affected probably in a pretty negative way by such a terrible disease. My college roommate, went through stage 2 breast cancer, and that's just one such example, but there's just so many that we all know. And so anything that brings attention and therefore some funding and things to support, we're happy to do it with our platform. And just a huge week for huge period of time for everybody in the room as we fight this together.
Important to come on out to Carmichael on Sunday to show support to those battling breast cancer and also support the Tar Heels as they go for a home win against BC, right?
We need you, man. Yeah, we got to make Carmichael great. We got to bring your part. Especially as we're undermanned, we need you.
So basketball brunch on Sunday at high noon as Carolina welcomes in Boston College for a home game this week. But first, a road trip to Syracuse, 7 o'clock tip on Thursday. Coach, thanks as always for taking the time. Thanks for joining us here on Holding Court, and we'll talk to you prior to that game against the Orange.
With the dream team, Matt, you got it. Go Heels.
So the head coach of the Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart, our thanks to her and Paulina Paris for joining us on this edition of Holding Court. You heard it from start to finish on the Tar Heel Sports Network. From Learfield.
Holding Court with Courtney Banghart has been presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.